I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Kos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to yet another episode of Deeply Rooted. As you know, this is where we help each other grow in our relationships with the Lord. We help each other know Jesus more, Jesus better, and where we help each other answer difficult questions, you know, about life and looking at the solutions and the answers given to us through the Word of God. So everything that we try to discuss on Deeply Rooted, we do so through the lens of the Word of God. So this week won't be any different. And yeah, it's the week after Passover, you know, maybe weekend in Kulu. That's how we call it on the Christian calendar, where Christians all over the globe were just celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the main point of our belief, basically, you know. So I hope you guys had a good one. I hope you guys celebrated, traveled. I traveled. I had a very good time. I went home to the Eastern Cape and I had such an amazing time in the presence of the Lord, just celebrating the work that he did for us on the cross. So I hope you guys did too. But if you didn't, no sweats and no worries. I mean, yes, we choose to celebrate Passover during this time of the year, but it doesn't change the fact that the work of the cross is relevant at any time all across the year. All year long, you can always celebrate the work of the cross. So if you couldn't go or you didn't go because of work or whatever else reason, just know that the blood of Jesus never loses its power. In every season, you can always just commemorate it for yourself, you know, just acknowledge it and praise him and worship him for it every single day of your life. Thank you so much for continuing to choose Deeply Rooted as your go-to Christian podcast. We're growing as a family. Listenership is growing. Thank you so, so much. And please keep recommending it to your friends, your family, because it's literally changing lives. You know, it's delivering people, setting people free, and literally just drawing people closer to God. So this week, we will be looking at one of the elements we were celebrating this past weekend. I mean, this past weekend, we were celebrating the death of Jesus Christ, right? The fact that he suffered and endured pain on our behalf, you know, because if he didn't die, then we would have to die for our own sins. We would have to carry our own burdens. But Jesus came and he died in our place so that whoever receives the work that he did, that person does not have to suffer because Jesus suffered himself in our place for the punishment of our sins, right? Yes, our sins and our actions have consequences, but eternally, when we look at it from an eternity point of view, then he is the one who stood in the gap. He's the one who stood in our place in order for us to not experience the eternal consequences of our sins. We thank Jesus for that. That is one part of the work of the cross that we celebrated this past weekend, right? The death of Jesus Christ. The fact that whoever accepts and receives him as Lord and Savior will be saved and death won't be their portion. And also we celebrated his resurrection, you know, which happens to be my favorite part of what we were celebrating. That yes, he died. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he endured embarrassment, but darkness didn't have the final say. The pain didn't have the final say because he rose again on the third day, you know. So that is exactly particularly what we will be zooming in on today's episode. So the resurrection element of the work of the cross, you know, he died, he suffered, but he was risen again, but he rose again, he resurrected again on the third day. And that is the power of what we carry. That is where the power is. That's where the power lies, in the fact that he did not only die, but he also resurrected. So just to give it some context, we will be reading from the book of Luke chapter 24. From verse 1 to verse 8. So it reads as follows. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So basically, this is telling after everything had happened, right? Jesus was crucified, he was betrayed, he was crucified, he was embarrassed, he was literally, he literally bled his blood out. The Bible says he bled to the point where there was no blood left in his body anymore. You know, only water was coming out. That's just how bad he was bleeding. So he experienced all of that pain. But then on the third day, these two women went to his tomb to go look for him. Because, I mean, Jesus did speak about this while he was teaching his disciples and just teaching multitudes who were listening to him while he was on earth. He told them that, you know what? I will die. It's going to happen, but I'm going to rise again. A lot of people didn't believe it. A lot of people were like, but how is that going to happen? But it actually did happen. It literally did happen. You know, when you look at history and historically, so many people, I'm talking archaeologists, historians, people that literally wanted to uncover the truth of Jesus Christ have literally gone to the ends of the earth and where he was believed to be buried. But to this day, there's not a single piece of evidence left on earth of the fact that Jesus was buried. There's no bone, there's no DNA, there's literally nothing you can find that shows that Jesus died. So that is proof enough that he rose again. And also history says over 500 eyewitnesses saw him alive after he was dead, you know. And as someone who's a journalist, I can tell you that eyewitness evidence is one of the most trustworthy evidence that you can find, you know. So he literally spoke about it before he died, that I will die, but I'll rise again. People didn't believe it. Some people questioned how it was going to happen. And I can imagine how they felt on the Saturday, you know, especially his disciples, people that walked closely with him. They were probably asking themselves, oh my goodness, is he really going to rise again? I mean, this guy was our king. You know, he was our friend. We walked with him everywhere. He literally performed miracles. And now that he's away, like, what will become of us? You know, what if he doesn't come back? But little did they know that Jesus was going to rise again. And he did rise again. And he revealed himself to his disciples that he has risen again. Not only his disciples, but also a lot more people saw him, you know, alive in glory after he died. So what does this mean particularly for us as believers? What does Jesus's resurrection mean for us? Like, how is it significant for us, the fact that he died? Yes, we know that the death and the suffering element of it happened so that we don't have to suffer for our sins, for the death consequence, the death penalty of our sins. That is why he had to die and suffer in our place. But then when we speak of resurrection, how does that benefit us, or how is it relevant to us as believers today? And to understand that, let's look at the book of John, chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. So it says here, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. That's the first scripture. Secondly, to understand how resurrection basically is relevant to us, is the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 14. It says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So basically, this shows that Jesus being resurrected from death, he was the first one to be resurrected from death. And because he was the first one to be resurrected from death, it means that whoever believes in him, whoever receives him as Lord and Savior and gives their lives to Christ, it means that they also won't die, but they will rise again. They will resurrect and live forever, and eternity is promised to them. That's what it shows. You know, the fact that we will all die, probably, or maybe not all of us, actually, because the Bible does say that not everyone will die, but that's a whole topic for another day. But we don't know when our day will come or whether it will come or not. It does say that even if we are mortal, right, because our bodies are mortal, we're not immortal people. We're people that, because of sin, because we are literally living in the flesh, we are going to die, right? And because sin was committed from right at the beginning, when Adam and Eve committed the sin in the garden, then death came into the human DNA. So all of us became then mortal. But because Christ died and rose again, the resurrection element of him, these scriptures that I just read, show that even though we will die as believers in Christ, as ones who gave their lives to Christ, but that won't be our end. That won't be our finality. We won't eternally die. There's eternity awaiting us. There's literally eternity with him and in him. We will spend our eternity with him. We will literally be raised again into life. So death is not our full stop as believers. You know, whenever someone dies who's a believer, we need to know and remind ourselves that there will be a day where Jesus raises everyone who died in him. That in him means whoever died believing in him, whoever died living for him and having given their lives to him, right? That person won't die eternally. But when Jesus comes again, again. When he raises people from the dead, he will raise the ones who were dead in him. And even if we do die, right, eternity is awaiting us. We have a whole new life that awaits us, a life that is eternal, a life where we will not be mortal, a life where we will live forever, where there won't be pain, there won't be suffering, there won't be hardship, but we will literally be together and one with the Lord. You know, Jesus says, in another part in scripture, he says that in his Father's house are many mansions, you know, and he's going to prepare place for us so that where he is, we also will be, right? Meaning that when he literally ascended to heaven, right, he went to prepare a place for us. Meaning even if we die as believers in Christ, there will be a time where we literally are raised again and literally our lives are not going to end here. Even death, even if we do die, we know that there's life beyond the grave and there's life eternal. There's life with him and in him, together, adjoined with him forever. So that's how it's relevant to us. That's how resurrection, particularly the resurrection element of it, the fact that Jesus defeated death, and because we're in him, we also are not subject to death. We also are people that defeat death because we're in Christ. So another element of resurrection, which is my personal favorite, is found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So it says here, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." I absolutely love the scripture because it literally makes something very clear that the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us, right? The fact that the power, like imagine, because I mean, this is not something that happened in the natural, guys. No one can die and rise again just naturally. There's a supernatural power that was involved in raising Jesus from the dead, in making sure that Jesus resurrects from the dead. So this particular scripture in the book of Romans speak to that spirit, right? That spirit, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living within us as believers, right? So you can imagine what that means when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? When you give your life to him, the same power, that majestic power, literally lives inside of you as a believer. Like, the power that was able to do something that is out of the ordinary, because raising someone from the dead is literally out of the ordinary. It's something that is unusual. It's something that is literally something that would not come to the minds and the hearts and the thoughts of like literal human beings, like normal human beings, because it's something out of our ordinary, something out of our reality, right? So that spirit that did that is a spirit that lives within us as believers, right? So that shows that since we have that spirit living within us, there's literally no limits to what we can do and what we can experience, right? That's why the Bible says that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not come to the hearts of men is what God has prepared for those who love him. So because we have that spirit living within us, there's literally no limits to what we can do, to how we can live our lives, right? Because we gave our lives to Christ, because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us, we literally have the power to walk in authority. Nothing can defeat us. We walk victoriously because that spirit that lives within us literally defeated death, right? So whatever dead situations in our lives literally don't have to be our reality. Whether it's a dead situation, whether anyone or anything once spoke death upon you, upon your family, upon your career, upon whatever thing, but that doesn't have to have the final say in your life as a believer, because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you, right? And because that spirit lives within you, you literally can speak life. You have authority, right? You can speak life, you know? So whatever it is, whether your family has a history of not succeeding, whether your family has a history of falling victim to some sickness, but because you are someone that gave your life to Christ and literally the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, you can speak against that death. You can speak against that darkness. Because one thing that resurrection showed is that darkness and defeat doesn't have to have the final say. It won't have the final say, because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead literally raised him up and defeated darkness, defeated death, right? So if that same spirit lives within us, what then can literally defeat us? Nothing. Nothing can defeat us, right? Even if there's literally things that have happened for generations in your family, things that were subject to you and whatever thing or covenant that you or your forefathers made, a dark covenant or covenant of darkness or evil or whatever words of negativity and evil were spoken upon your life, you can literally stand and speak in authority, because Jesus also gave us the authority to trample upon scorpions and snakes. So meaning we have authority over darkness, we have authority over dark forces and principalities of this age, things that are unseen, things that are worked for us to not succeed in dark and evil places. Those things literally have no authority over us, because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead literally lives within us, you know. And another scripture that proves this, for example, is the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. It says, this is Paul basically speaking. This is a letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, right? The church in Ephesians, basically. So he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand, and in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So this scripture literally puts it very clearly that power, that incomparably great power, is the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And that same power lives within us. You know, that is literally such a deep and powerful truth. And if you know that truth, that, you know, when you gave your life to Christ, when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, literally the power that raised Jesus from the dead was made alive in you, like it was literally placed inside of you, that means you can do anything. You can speak anything. You can speak the word of God. You can speak life, and defeat and darkness won't have the final say in your life. And whatever has been spoken upon you, whatever darkness was spoken, whatever evil, no matter what people said, because I mean, I know that sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it's people and whatever forces of darkness that want to speak certain words upon our lives, you know, upon our families' lives, no matter who said what upon you. But if you have the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of you, and that is the case if you gave your life to Christ, you can literally speak against those things. You can speak the truth. You can speak light. You can speak the word of God, and it will come to life in your life. It will come to life in your situation, in your career. You know, whether people said you will not succeed, you know, whether people said, you know, like defeat and failure in your career and failure in your relationships and failure in your marriages and whatever will literally be your portion, that doesn't have to be the case if you gave your life to Christ, because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, the most powerful force in the universe, the force that literally did the unusual, that raised Jesus from the dead, that did something that is literally out of the ordinary, that defeated darkness and death, lives inside of you. It is high time that we realize the power we've been given as believers. You know, we literally, giving your life to Christ is not just a game. It literally is power. You accept power inside of you. It resides inside of you. It can be made manifest and become real and tangible in your life, in all areas of your life, you know. So that is just one element of resurrection that is super powerful to me and is my personal favorite, because it makes me walk in confidence. It makes me walk in assurance and authority and victory. You know, no matter what is happening right now, no matter what happened in the past, no matter what attacks that come my way, I know that I can be victorious, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within me, you know. And another thing I loved about Jesus resurrecting is the fact that Jesus is all powerful. He proved this, you know, when he was walking the earth. He proved it through his death and his resurrection. And he could have literally risen from the dead and nothing would have ever shown that he once died, right? No scars, nothing. He could have literally just came back blemishless, without blemish, you know. But he chose to come back with nails, like not nails, but I mean, when he was resurrected, his hands were pierced with nails, right? And that's how he was hung on the cross, right? So one of his disciples, Thomas, didn't believe that it was him who had risen. He was like, you know what? I don't believe this is you. In order for you to prove that this is really you, show me the nail pierced hands, show me the nail, show me the scars where your hands were pierced with nails, right? And Jesus literally showed that. He was like, here are my hands, like, look at the holes, look at the scars where I was pierced with nails. So this is evidence that it's actually me. It's not a scam, it's not a clone. This is me. This is literally me, you know. And Jesus, being all powerful, omniscient and omnipotent, he could have literally risen from the dead and nothing would have ever shown that, you know what, I was dead and I rose again. He could have literally done away with the scars and he could have literally made himself brand new without blemish, without scar, right? But he chose to keep those scars just to show evidence that, you know what, I was bruised, I was scarred, I was beaten, I was embarrassed, but that didn't have the final say. So these scars serve as evidence of the truth, which is the fact that I did die, I was crucified, but now that I've risen again, here's the evidence of the past, which is the fact that I was crucified. But now this is no longer my reality, right? My reality is that I've risen. And the scars that you see on my hands, the nail-pierced hands that I'm showing you right now, are literally evidence that I was bruised, are evidence that I was, you know, beaten, I was crucified, I was hanged on the cross. But that literally didn't defeat me, you know. I think that was a very powerful depiction that Jesus did there, where he left his nail-pierced hands for us to see, you know, for his disciples to see that, you know what, I literally died, I literally struggled and suffered, and my pain was there for everyone to see. I was embarrassed in front of people. But look at me now. That wasn't the end. Death and darkness did not have the final say. I rose again and I rose in glory and I defeated death, you know, so that everyone who is in me, everyone who receives me as their Lord and Savior, also will defeat death and they will have life eternally. So that also shows us that when we experience pain, when we experience rejection, when we experience physical pain, abuse, or whatever it is, sometimes there will be evidence that you did go through those things. Jesus' nail-pierced hands was evidence that he did die. He was embarrassed. He was humiliated in front of people. You know, he suffered. He experienced pain. He was crying. But the fact that he rose again with those scars that showed that he was persecuted and he experienced all that pain, the rising and the resurrecting was literally proof that that didn't have the final say. So even for us, when we go through difficult things, when we go through pain, people might remember that, you know what, you grew up in a very painful background. You know, you were abused. You know, you were rejected. You went through a car accident. I'm speaking on experience. I'm speaking based on experience, rather, because I was also in a car accident and I still have a scar on my knee that shows that I was once in a car accident, right? People saw me, you know, and this also speaks to painful, emotionally painful situations, you know, where people saw your suffering, where people saw your crying. But because that was in the past, because that happened in the past, you being alive right now, you having a whole completely different life and having defeated and having been victorious over what you went through is proof that there can be evidence of scars. But the evidence of those scars did not have the final say. So whatever pain you went through did not have the final say. You know, for example, I always tell people when they see the scar on my knee that, you know what, I was in a car accident and it was a painful time when I was literally going through the pain and the stitching and literally the entire time when the car rolled while I was inside, you know, but the scar literally shows that even though I experienced that pain, it is evidence. I literally show people that this is evidence that I literally experienced the near-death, you know, situation. But now I'm alive. Now I'm healthy. Now that happened 4 years ago. It's no longer my reality. You know, I literally defeated that and I'm victorious over that, you know. So sometimes don't be ashamed of the scars that are visible. Sometimes don't be ashamed that you were abused. Don't be ashamed that you grew up in a painful background or an abusive household. Don't be ashamed of that. Yes, it happened. Yes, people remember it. Yes, people can say, you know what? We actually remember this girl. She went through this, this, and that. But when you stay in Christ, Christ, when you give your life to Christ, he does something so beautiful that he beautifies you. He can literally take what you went through, the pain that you went through, and literally turn it around for your good to a point where you are unrecognizable. Yes, people may remember that once upon a time you did experience this. You were in pain. You were in a car accident. You experienced surgery. You know, you were altered in some way. You know, you were rejected. You experienced this form of pain and struggling and suffering, but it didn't have the final say. You know, when you're in Christ and when you give your life to Christ, the power of resurrection that lives within you, Jesus does something so powerful with it. The same thing that he did for himself, with himself, the fact that he died. And when he rose again, he still had, you know, the scars on his hands that showed that he was pierced and he suffered death. And he rose again after that, you know. And yes, there was literally evidence of the fact that, you know what, I did. It's true, guys. You can talk about it. I did struggle. I did suffer. I did go through this, this and that. But he wasn't ashamed of it because it was now a testimony. It was no longer a reminder of pain, but it was a reminder of victory. That as much as he did have the nail-pierced hands, he literally shows them now as a sign of victory that, yes, I went through the pain. I went through the suffering and embarrassment, but I literally rose above it and I rose again and I was resurrected into life and I defeated death, and darkness and evil did not have the final say. You know, so same way in our lives, you know, when things happen and people see things happening and we have evidence that, you know what, I was once a person who had this condition. I literally went through abuse, a car accident. People remember that. But when we give our lives to Christ, his transforming power, his resurrection power literally does that, where you are unrecognizable. And the pain and the scars that may be visible sometimes are now used as a testimony that, you know what, death and darkness did not have the final say. Defeat and pain and suffering did not have the final say. But victory and light and God's power and resurrection had the final say, in the same way that it did to him when he died and rose again. You know, so that is a very powerful thing. One of my most favorite influences, some of you may know her, Nozibele Mayaba, she literally has a painful story of how she contracted HIV, but now she literally uses it as a tool to teach people and to literally testify of the goodness of God, because right now she has a very beautiful life. You know, she's living with her child and her husband, and she lives a very blessed life, you know, literally sharing her story across the globe of how powerful, you know, God can be, using the pain and what people thought would be your end and your defeat, but God can literally turn it around and use it for your good and literally use it as a testimony that, yes, this happened, but it didn't have the final say. Right now I'm here and I'm living and I'm victorious and I'm wonderful and I'm beautiful, you know. So that is one of the most powerful things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ can teach us, that death and defeat and darkness does not have the final say. So yeah, that is all I have for you this episode today. I hope you guys did enjoy it, and I pray that it literally makes you remember that as much as you did experience pain, as much as Jesus did die, but he rose again, you know, he wasn't swallowed by the grave. The grave literally couldn't keep him. You know, there's evidence of it. There's historical, physical evidence of it, where you can ask every historian in the world and they would tell you that there's literally no evidence. There's no trace that Jesus literally died and the grave kept him. There's literally nothing. His body was never found. He literally rose again. Over 500 eyewitnesses saw him alive after his resurrection. And that means we too who are in Christ will not be subject to death, to eternal death, but we will rise again. We will live eternally with him. You know, so we thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came and became the literal cornerstone and principle and center of our faith. You know, because of him, we have endless possibilities. Because the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, literally nothing is impossible. You know, we literally have the same power living inside of us. So we have authority, we have eternal life, we have literally victory over all situations, as long as we're in him and we've given our lives to him. This is you. Dearly Beloved. Don't forget to subscribe to Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, we've got a lot more other episodes under Times Live Podcasts. We've got Taking Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, the SL Cabinet. Please do check them out and please also listen to those ones as well. But until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are absolutely precious in your Heavenly Father's side. God bless.